if we can keep going on this. Hallelujah. All right, so it did get brought up first service a little bit. I am talking tonight. I'm ministering along the line of a new door. I've been praying out for quite some time about a new door. And in this door, I see it like, have you ever, anybody, you probably don't like this door, but the door at the airport with TSA, have you ever been through that door? How many of you know sometimes some people get stopped and get wanded? You know what I'm talking about? And so I've been praying about this door, and when I pray about this door, I see this thing that we as the body of Christ are supposed to walk through this door. And Jesus is the door, and yet there's angels at this door, and you go up to this door, and it beeps, and it goes off, and the angel says, you can't bring that through this door. And so we're going to talk maybe a little bit about some of that stuff tonight or maybe even yet today. But it's like then you got to go stand in a different line, and you got to decide whether you're going to let go of your attitudes. Because you can't bring that through this door. You have to let go of your bitterness because you can't bring that through this door. And you got to have the right clothes on. There's something about this door that you're going to have to change your clothes. Because, how many of you know when a season changes, you need to be appropriately dressed for that season? How many of you know it's cold outside and you ought not be wearing a tank top and shorts right now? I know some of you think that's cool, but you ought not be wearing a tank top and shorts right now. You need to change your clothes, for the season has changed. And spiritually, I believe that you're going to get some new shoes. The Holy Ghost said it. You're going to get some new shoes for your, you're having hinds feet for your high places. In other words, where we've got to go in God is higher, and so you're going to have to change your shoes. And it's like, so we go through this line, and it seems like we have to let go of some things in order to walk through this door. And I just keep hearing somebody at the door saying, you can't bring that through this door. It's not allowed. In other words, where things used to get away with, if you're going to go up higher, you can't get away with that anymore. Are you ready to walk through the door? Not everybody's going, but I'm going. Are you going? Are you going to follow God? Come on, we've come too far. We've done too much. We're not going to get left behind. Amen? Amen. Are you ready to go through? And so since it's the new year, this is what I know about God. He has set for us times and seasons, morning and night. Aren't you glad like Alaska, I don't think I'd like to live up there when it's either 24 hours of daylight, or I would do better in the daylight than I would do the darkness. But for you and I, there's times and there's seasons. I mean, we're in a new season. It's winter outside, even in Alabama. And so the season changes. I believe the Lord did that. Because how do you know for Him, He lives in eternity? I mean, today and how many know tomorrow, which we mark as New Year's, is going to be just like today for Him. Nothing changed for Him. Nothing changed in heaven. He set time and seasons and the sun and the moon. And He set that stuff for us, not for Him. Because as a human being, that's where we differ from God, is you and I need closure on things so that we can move forward. So we're going to get some closure on some things because it's time to move ahead. And so I want you to know that that this is part of what God does, and He really does it for us so that we can mark some things, so that we can call some things over, so we can move forward. So no matter how good or bad 2017 was, it's gone. And 2018 is coming. And I know you were expecting this of me this morning, so I want to deliver it to you, because are you ready to let go? So we're gonna call this moving forward. Are you ready to move forward? This is what I know about God, that faith is right now. And we have to end up letting some things go so we can walk by faith, so we can receive all that He has for us in the future. So one of the things you got to do is forget what is behind you. Turn to your neighbor and say, forget it. Forget it, right? Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend, but this one thing I do. That's a pretty big thing. This is the Apostle Paul. And he said, this one thing I do. This must be a big thing. This one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind. What do I got to do with those things that are behind? How many know that some people live in their past? They live in their past. They talk about the past. You know, everything. Some people, my age, even lived so far in the past, they still think of high school as the glory years. Those were four of the worst years of my life. And so I didn't have a hard time forgetting those at all. or college years, or whatever. Or when, you know, maybe you're in college and you know, the glory years when you didn't have to pay for anything. But everything has to be left behind. Come on, everything has to be left behind. Everything has to be left behind. You can't move forward unless you learn to leave things behind. Paul said, this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. Why? So I can reach forth to those things that are before. You can never go forward if you're always looking backwards. You can never go forward if you're living in the past, whether it was good or bad. You can never go forward if you're stuck in, talk about, and live in the past. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 9, verse number 62. And Jesus said to him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Why did he say that? Why did Jesus say no man is fit for the kingdom? Because in the kingdom of God, faith is right now. You have to live in the right now. I know for me, I learned to deal with my past, and I'll tell you why a little bit later, but I have to watch also not living in the future. Like when I'm praying for these people that are going to Chile, in my mind, I've already been there, done that, bought a t-shirt, and I'm back building a building. I have to watch that I don't live in the future, because if I live in the future, then I'm not in the moment. But you see, if I'm in the past, where most people live, is then they can't be in the moment either. And Jesus said, you're not fit. That sounds kind of mean, doesn't it? But what's he trying to? He's trying to, you know, kind of shake you in your thinking. You can't operate in the kingdom of God because faith is in the now. And if you're not in the now, it'll affect your future in a bad way. If you're living in the past, you can't do it. So what causes you to live in the past? Well, a lot of times what causes people to live in the past is unforgiveness. Or they're mad at somebody. I know people who are mad at God. I know people who are mad at an ex or a current, or they're mad at a family member. They didn't like the way they were raised. Today everybody ought to be in therapy. I mean, everybody's got a story. But you determine whether you live there or not. You have to determine, I'm not going to live there. And so that's why the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Ghost, said, forgetting those things that lie behind. That's why Jesus said, you're not fit for the kingdom if you're looking backwards. What causes people to look back? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Hebrews 12, 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. How many know you need the grace of God? What causes the grace of God to fail in your life? It says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. One of the things that keep people in the past is a root of bitterness. Now, around here, we've looked at this a lot of times. If you've been in Pastor Rhonda's Love Walk class, you know this well. But it is such a big thing because Jesus said in Mark 11, 25 and 26, if while you're standing praying, you have to forgive. Why? He said, because if you're in unforgiveness, you're looking back and your faith won't work. If you're in unforgiveness, you're looking backwards and your faith won't work because faith is now. And so we have to get it taken care of. And what happens if you have unforgiveness in your heart, it'll eventually turn into a root of bitterness. How do you know when you have a root of bitterness? The Bible says that word defile. Now, I always say it like this, but I'm saying it to shock you because you heard this word and this word should offend you. The word defile means rape. So what happens when someone gets a root of bitterness is they rape other people's garden hearts. Because when you're offended or when you've got bitterness, it'll spew out of you into other people. How can you tell if you're bitter? Well, because you can't let it go. Because you defile people, because you talk about it. And how many know, in order to move forward, you got to let it go. Come on, are you ready to let it go? Everybody in the room ready to let it go? Come on, say, I'm going to let it go. Well, I thought I'd let it go. How can you tell if you've let it go or not? How can you tell? Because when that person's name is mentioned, does your blood pressure go up? Do you need you need some Tums? If you see them, do you want to wring their neck? That's a good old, that's an Illinois term for a chicken farm. I want to wring their neck. Some of you didn't get that one. But do I want to get them in a headlock and punch their... Any of those thoughts means you've got bitterness. No, that's just normal. It's not Christian normal. It's not faith normal. It's not going to work. You got to let it go. So what do I got to do? Well, I got to get, it's a root. And you can fool some people for a little while. But roots produce plants, which always produce seeds. And you can cut it off and cut it off and cut it off. But one day, you'll either stop and never be able to go forward again, or you're going to get both of your spiritual hands and you're going to pull that thing out no matter what it takes. You got to decide. Have you decided? Are you going forward? And you say, well, Pastor, I don't got any roots of bitterness. But we're just doing a garden check. We're doing it because are you ready to go forward? But you can't go forward if you're living in the past. Jesus said it's impossible. He said, no man, no man. And when he says no man, he means nobody. Nobody can operate in the kingdom if you're looking backwards. Yeah, but. If you got a yeah, but, then you got a bitterness root. Yeah, but. I know some bad things have happened, but you still got to let it go. And you're not letting that person off the hook. You're letting what they've done to you, you're getting the hook out of you. Amen? Everybody say, let it go. So how can you tell? People say, moving on, Pastor, moving on. I hear you, but we're not ready yet. All right, so let's make sure we don't have any bitterness. I hear you. I can hear you, but we're going to get it. Bitterness, what does it mean? It's an intense, deep-seated feeling of resentment, indignation, and ill will against someone or something which we feel that they have committed an insult, an injustice, or an offense against us. You watch news right now on cable, what are they trying to do? They are spewing bitterness. They want you to be bitter at a people group. They're trying to make the world even more bitter against Christianity. Bitterness is being spewed. You got to watch that. You got enough problems. You don't need nobody throwing no bitter seeds in you. Amen? It's an emotional response which results from failure to properly deal with feelings of personal outrage, anger, unforgiveness, and contempt. So we're going to deal with it, right? Can I get everybody to deal with it? Why? I'm trying to get you through a door. I want to go through the door. You want to go through the door? And yet I see somebody with a spiritual wand saying, you can't bring that through this door. And so I want us to deal with it, even if you've dealt with it in the past. But we got to make sure that we're carrying nothing forward. Isaiah chapter 54, verses 2 through 5, the Lord's talking to Israel. And I'm not going to take time to go through all of it. But it says that it talks about having to forget the shame of your youth. It says forgetting the reproach of your widowhood. There's just all the time the Lord is dealing with us to forget something, to move on past it. But see, in order to move on, you've got to first make sure that you've forgotten, that you let it go. So we're going to let it go. Everybody ready to let it go? Come on, say it one more time. I choose to let it go. All right? Turn to your neighbor and say, did you let it go? Did you let it go? Come on, did you? Did you let it go? For real, for sure. All right. So now, because you let it go, then there's some things you're just going to have to leave behind. Not only you got to let it go, there are some things, in order to move forward, to go through this door, you're going to have to leave behind. Because it's like what I saw was them saying, you can't bring that through this door. It's just, on this side, you can't carry that with you. Reminds me of Hebrews, where it says, lay aside the sin and the weights that do so easily beset you. In other words, for where we're going, you can't carry that. You'll not be able to make it on this side. And I didn't tell the first service this, but a lot of what the Lord said, he said it's for their own protection. And so I don't know why, what's on this other side. I do know it's this. I do know it's green pastures and still waters. I do know it's high places in God. And I believe he's trying to take his body to a higher place, and he wants to take you there. But there are some things we got to leave behind. I want to show you some scripture. Let's look at Genesis chapter 19, verse 17. This is the account of Sodom and Gomorrah. Everybody remember Sodom and Gomorrah? We all remember what went on there, right? And so we know the angels came to pull Lot, his wife, and his family out. And they were leaving, and this is what happened in Genesis 19, 17. It came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, he said, "Escape for your life. Look not behind you. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be consumed." What was the angel's command to them? What was it? Don't look behind. Why did he tell them not to look behind? Well, because they were supposed to be going through a new door. And you can't be looking backwards and going through this new door. You can't go to this new place. You can't be saved while you're looking back. And what do we know about Lot's wife? She was not only looking back, but there was something about Sodom and Gomorrah that had a hold on her, that she wanted to stay there instead of go on with God. She liked what happened there. She wanted to stay there. That was her home. That was her place. That was what she was familiar with. And so it wasn't just this angel or God being mean to her. She was longing to look back. And see, you can't go on with God and longingly look back at the world. We've been redeemed. We've been changed. We've been made new creatures in Christ Jesus. We've been made righteous. We don't have anything to do with that anymore. Not longingly looking back towards it. And you know what happened to her? Verse 26. Aren't you glad we live in a new covenant? But his wife looked back from behind and she became a pillar of salt. Everybody say, leave it. What do you got to do? You got to let it go. You got to leave it. Luke chapter 5. This is Levi the publican, verse 27, 28. After these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at a receipt of customs. Tax collector, and he said to him, "Follow me." Verse 28, and he left how much? So what did he do? He left it all. He left it all, he rose up, and he followed him. There are some times in life you're going to have to leave it. There are some times you're going to have to leave some stuff. There's going to be some times you're going to have to let some stuff go. And when you leave it go, when you let it go, what do you know? You're going to follow him. Well, this is what I know about God. I know he, you remember Peter asking him, because he was talking about, that what about us? What about life? And Jesus said this. He said, "You've never left anything for my sake that I'll not give you 100-fold in this life." So when you leave something, what do you know about God? He's going to make it better. Like I said, he's going to make it better. But sometimes you got to leave everything. Remember the rich young ruler? He couldn't leave it. He couldn't let it go. Listen, anything in this life the Lord leads you to let go of, I'm going to tell you something silly. I'll tell you a silly thing. In our world travels, sometimes we get some days where we get to do some fun stuff. One of my favorite fun days ever. There is a rumor that goes around that I like to go shopping, that Pastor Rhonda doesn't like to go shopping, but I like to go shopping. That's not accurate. I like to go buying. I am not a lady who likes to, I'm not a lady. I don't mean that's stereotypical, but you know how they like to browse and look around and compare. I like to go buy things for me. And so, so we were in Thailand and, please forgive me, anyone who owns a watch shop who has a real Rolex, but they had the fake ones. And they were like $3 or something. And they looked really good. So I bought a number of them. And I brought them home, and I gave some away. But there was this one that I really, really liked. And I kept it. And only the watch dealer could tell that it wasn't real. And he got mad at me when I asked him to put a battery in it. Matter of fact, he threw it back at me. But the Lord made me give it away. He had me give it to someone. And I hope it blessed that person. I liked it. But he's like, "That's really not of any importance. And it's fake, and I'm going to get you some good stuff." But I like the fake stuff. But I don't want to get good in life at liking the fake stuff. I'm not even talking about material now. I'm talking let's get the real stuff. And the Lord has provided me with watches after watches after watches. People just give me watches, good ones. But that's not my point. My point is that you have to be willing to give up anything and everything, even if you like it. And God will do more than get it back to you. And I'm not just talking about things. I'm really not talking. I use a thing as an example, but I'm not talking about things. I'm talking about being willing to do whatever God asks you to do. And if whatever you have to leave behind, you're not really leaving anything behind. You can trust him. You can trust him. You can trust him. If he asks you to do anything and you don't understand it, you can do better. I want to get going, but there's a minister that I listened to a lot that had built up a very good ministry, and the Lord asked him to give it all up. He tells the story that him and his wife had just believed God, and they got the best house they ever had. She had believed God for a brand new kitchen, and someone came and handed them the entire cash money for her to redo her kitchen. And she'd had it done one whole month, and the Lord asked them to sell the house and move to another city. And where they were moving, nobody thought they should move to because it wasn't a big enough city for a big enough church. But they obeyed God. I mean, he's well known to me and to many people. If I'd mentioned his name, you'd know him. But in case I don't get the story right, I don't want to say his name. But my point is this: the Lord spoke to him and said, because he was having a hard time, because he was even arguing with the Lord. Yeah, Lord, but we just got this, and this. Surely I'm misunderstanding you. And it said the Lord spoke to him and called him by name and said, don't you think I can do better for you? Don't you think I can do better for you? So what did he ask him to do? He asked him to leave it. And today, he's done much better for him. I don't know what that has to do with you, except that don't be afraid if the Lord speaks to you about leaving something behind to walk through a door, that there is something much better on the other side for you. Everybody say, leave it. And then in some cases like that, you know, Matthew 4:18-20 talks about Peter and Andrew. It says, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. Verse 19, and he said to them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Verse 20, and they straightway left their nets and followed him. You see nets, but I see a business. So when they left their nets, they left their boats, they left their family, they left their income, they left everything, and they followed him. Everybody say, leave it. And what happens when you leave it? God will replace it and get you better. And then I like this one, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. There's a man named blind Bartimaeus. You remember him? He was at the road. He heard Jesus go by. And you remember he was calling, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Right? And what did all the people tell him to do? Sit down, shut up. And he yelled all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And then they stopped. And the people said, hey, he's calling for you. And then what happened? We saw this in Mark chapter 10. I think it's about verse 50. We saw blind Bartimaeus take off his cloak. You remember that? And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. What was his garment for? You've heard this before, right? What was his garment for? It gave him the right to beg. Why was he leaving it behind? Why was he going to leave it behind? Because he don't have to beg anymore. Sometimes you got to leave things behind as an act of faith because you know when you walk through that door, you're not going to need this anymore. And in this case, he let go of his garment to beg because he wasn't going to have to beg anymore. But he let it go before he received his healing. Everybody say, let it go. Sometimes you got to let some stuff go. Amen. Philippians 3:8, the Apostle Paul said this. Philippians 3:8, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. He said, I count everything that I've lost, I count it as dung. I'm going to leave it behind. It wasn't of any value to me because what I have now is more valuable. But there's just some things, and I just wanted to point out to you. Not only are you going to have to let it go, you may have to let some, you have to get in forgiveness, you're going to have to let some things go. You may have to lay some stuff aside. You may have to begin to do things a little different in your life. If you want what's on the other side of the door, you may have to let some things down. You may have to just leave them go. You may have to cast aside some weight and definitely get rid of the sin that's besetting you, because what you need freedom on the other side of what God has for you. God wants you to have some good things, but you're going to have to let it go and you're going to have to leave it behind. You're going to have to let it go and leave it behind. Everybody say, leave it behind. You're going to have to let it go and you're going to have to leave it behind. Why? Well, when you get to that place, then you can get to this place that I want to talk about. For me, 2017 has been a year that this is one of those years that I can't wait to see in the rearview mirror. I'm looking forward to it. I just had a lot of stuff go on this year, and a lot of good stuff, but a lot of change in my life. And it always reminds me of what the Apostle Paul said. He said, letting go so that I can take hold. But you got to let go first before you take a hold of something else. It reminds me, I had a teacher in Bible school. She talked about it. She talked about it this way. It's like being like that trapeze in a circus. You ever been to a circus? You seen the trapeze artist? So you got the guy who's hanging by his knees usually, and he's swinging back and forth. And what's he going to do? It's usually a girl. She's going to fly from one, and she's going to trust him to catch her on the other side. She should get paid double. All he's doing is, I mean, the catcher is important. And I should say Jesus is the catcher in this story, so he's really important. More important than the flyer. But you understand my point is you got to let go. Everybody say, let go. You got to let go first. There's no way to, in this case, if you got a real trapeze, there's no way to just swing and then him safely grab. There's some flying in the middle there. Well, personally for me, I feel like I've been flying since January of 2017 out in the middle of the air. I'm looking for some arms right now. I'm looking for some arms. And I know he catches me, but if you've been flying for a year like I feel like I've been flying for a year, you just kind of get used to it after a while, though. But, you know, there's an end coming. There's an end coming. And so whether you've had a great year, you're still going to have to let go of whatever's going on in order for you to catch what's coming next. But whatever it is, that middle place there is very uncomfortable, and it's called faith. It's you deciding to follow on. Because this is what happens sometimes before we let go. We want to know why. Have you had some stuff going on in your year that you'd like to know why it happened? But if the Lord hasn't answered, what do you got to do? Well, you just got to follow on. Because if he doesn't answer the why, that means you're not ready for it yet. We want to know what. Oh, we sure want to know how. And we can explain to him how he can do it for us. Have you ever tried to explain to the Lord how this could be? Like he needs our help? So when you get to answer, come on, sometimes, you know, it's good to ask questions. Mary asked, how's this going to be? The Lord told her. The angel said, you know, the Holy Ghost is going to overshadow you. You know? He's going to be called Jesus, the Son of God? I mean, a lot of questions were answered there. But there's some times in life when you don't get you don't know. So what do you got to do? Well, you have to follow on. Now, the problem is, if you don't let things go, if you don't leave it behind, you can get stuck there. You've heard me talk to you about, we're not going to go look at it in depth, but Abram's father, y'all remember Abram's father? You remember his name? Few of you do. Most of you don't, because he's not talked about much. His name is Terah. And Terah was supposed to go to the promised land. Terah, I submit to you, was probably supposed to be the father of our faith. But what happened was, one of his sons died. And he got stuck there. Now, that's a tragedy. It's an awful thing. But he got stuck there. And he couldn't move past Haran. He even named a city after him. And he lived there to honor his son. But he got stuck there. Now, it was a terrible tragedy. It was awful. But he couldn't move past it. He couldn't leave it. He couldn't let it go. And so God had a plan, and so he tapped Abraham. And Abram then sojourned into the promised land. And if you study it out, it's just a few scriptures, but it tells you that that's where Terah was assigned to go, but he couldn't go. He couldn't leave it. He couldn't let it go. And I wouldn't make light of his tragedy. I wouldn't make light of what's going on. But how many of you know God can help us move past anything? And sometimes even good things. I tell this in a funny way. You know, some people at my age, they still talk about high school. Like those were the best 4 years of their life. Well, thank God, those weren't the best 4 years of my life. They were kind of the worst. But you move on. Some people get stuck in college. Some people get stuck wherever. But you can't get stuck anywhere with God. Are you with me? Everybody say, leave it, let it go. And why you got to do it? Well, you got to follow on. Even when you don't understand, you have to follow on. Hosea 6:3. This scripture has helped me so much. It says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Then we'll know. So in other words, I can't get stuck where I'm at. I've got to follow on to know the Lord. I've got to do it his way. I got to keep on moving. Everybody say, follow on. What am I doing? I'm moving forward. Even if I can't figure it out, I'm still flying because I know on the other end of that trapeze, I know somebody's about to grab me. Amen? I'm going to follow on another. And really, if you look at this scripture, that it's talking about the early and the latter rain. It's talking about the glory. Sometimes when you don't know, you can't figure out what's going on, the Lord is, there's glory on the other side of this. There's this power on the other side of it, and I'm going to keep on going through. Didn't say God caused it. Didn't say God allowed it. I just said it's life, and I don't understand it, but I got to follow on. I got to keep on moving. Who did that? Well, just real quick, I want to tell you, what does that look like to follow on? What does it look like to keep on moving, even when you don't understand? I like to use Joseph. How many of you know Joseph, his family hated him? How many of you know God gave him a dream? How many of you know he didn't ask for the dream? A lot of things in life we don't ask for. God just, he gives it to us. And that's what we're supposed to be. And other people don't like it and they get jealous or whatever. And so, how many of you know, they sold Joseph into slavery. And all he was doing was trying to bring him some food. So how many of you know, you might need some therapy if your brothers sell you into slavery and tell your dad he's dead. But he obviously kept on moving. Because he rose up at Potiphar's house to be number two in charge. And then it happened to him again. Potiphar's wife thought he was cute and all that. And she tried to seduce him and he wouldn't do it. And he did everything right. And then he ended up in prison. And then he obeyed God and interpreted a dream. And they were supposed to remember him, but they didn't. And he just kept on moving. Come on, y'all. This is a man that you and I should admire because he kept on moving. He kept on moving forward. He kept on trusting God. He didn't know why he had this dream. He didn't know how it was going to work out. He just kept on following God. How do I know? Well, because he ended up in Pharaoh's house, number two in charge. But I love this scripture, Genesis chapter 41, verse 45. Genesis 41, 45 talks about him. It says, Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh. Manasseh. For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. In other words, what did he do? How did he follow on? I got my own family now. I got a family. And I'm going to forget everything that happened with my father's house, and I'm going to even name my son Manasseh, and every time I call him to dinner, I'm going to remember God has caused me to forget it. Amen. You ought to pray for some Manasseh. Manasseh works in my life. I'm just serious as I can be. The Lord told me that I've even turned it into a verb. The Lord helped me Manasseh that. I Manasseh'd that. The Lord made me to forget that. And there'll be times when Pastor Rondell will even say, you remember when? And I can honestly say with my hand before God, I don't remember. And I don't remember. It's supernatural. I just... I forget it. I choose to forget, because that's how you move on. If you hold it, you can't move on. I choose to forget it. I'll just use this for time's sake. Anybody, King David, what does it look like moving forward? What does that look like? How do I put this into practice? Anybody remember King David? When you think of King David, you mostly think of he's a man after God's own heart. How many know he is? But that man after God's own heart wasn't perfect. He really messed up. And so you know the account. Bathsheba was up. David should have been out. It was time for the kings to be out fighting, and he should have been out fighting, but he was at home. Bathsheba was taking a bath. And how many of you know, as the king, he called her, had him go get her, and she had to obey. So she came. You all know what happened. She became pregnant. Uriah, who was one, if you study it out, was one of David's, I believe, first mighty men. You can trace him back to the cave of Adullam. So this wasn't just some guy. This was somebody that David knew. This was an honorable man. Because you can read the rest of the story. I mean, he wouldn't even go into her, and then David had him killed. So this is a mess. And so, you know, remember what happened? David ended up repenting. Thank God for repentance. He ended up repenting. And then what happened? Their son that Bathsheba's pregnant with, what happens? He died. I mean, David is fasting. He's praying. And they come and tell him the baby's dead. Then he gets up. They think he's going to mourn. But he gets up and washes himself, and he asks for food. What had happened? He moved on. See, that's hard. Sometimes we look at that and we say, what? But he said, he can't come to me, but one day I'll go to him. He even had that much understanding as an Old Testament man. And he moved on. What did he do? Then he went into Bathsheba to comfort her, and then they conceived a king named Solomon, the wisest and the wealthiest king that ever was to be. God can take something the devil meant for evil and turn it for good. Now, Solomon wasn't perfect either, but I'm just saying that the wisest, the most influential king, we got a lot of what he had to say because it came from the Lord. What? How do you move forward? What does it look like? You have to trust the Lord and follow on to know. You got to just follow on to know. The Apostle Paul, how many of you know when you think about him, when he was Saul, he was there and he gave approval while they stoned Stephen to death. How many people had he put in jail? How many people had he ordered killed? And now he's up preaching the gospel. Do you think there was a warfare going on the inside of him? That's why he had to say, I count everything as loss. I forget those things that are behind me, and I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I don't know what's going on with you. All I know is this. You got to let some things go. You got to leave some things behind, and it's time to move forward. And so I'm going to sing you into the new year. I'm not going to do it personally, but the worship team's going to come do it.
I have found in you, you're the healer who makes all things new. Things are made new. I made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. Here to declare to you, my past is over and new. All things are made new. Surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward.
Father God, I choose to leave it behind. I choose to lay it down. I am moving forward in you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I let go of the former things and I take hold of what lies before me. I trust you, Lord. I trust you with my life. I lay down my life and I pick up your life. And I leave behind everything in 2017. And I move forward in 2018 to receive everything that you have for me in this year. I will follow you. I will follow you forward every day in this year. And I thank you for it. Father God, I pray for everyone in this room. I pray, Father, that you would help them lay things down, leave it, let it go. And that whatever you have planned for us as a body, what you have planned for them individually as we walk through this new door together, I call them blessed. I say all their needs are met. I call them protected. I believe the angels camp round about them. I say, Father God, everything that you have ordained them to do as they walk in the path and the light of the glory of God, that you will show them things to come and that you will help them and aid them and guide them in everything that they have to do. And I call this new year blessed. And I believe these people are blessed to be a blessing in 2018. And I thank you for them in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen.